22, Abraham was instructed to take his son, his only son, take him to a place that God told him, take him to a place that God showed him, and he was to offer him there as a sacrifice to God. Abraham did as instructed. He took his son and he went on a 3-day journey. Come to the mountain range of Moriah. God instructed him and showed him where to take his son, on which mountaintop to take him. I believe the mountaintop that Abraham took Isaac to is the same mountaintop that Jesus hung on a cross. But there on the mountain, Abraham prepared the altar. He laid Isaac on that altar and he lifted a knife to take his life, take this life of his son, and God stopped him. God stopped him. God intervened. It was a test for Abraham. The Bible says the conversation went, and Abraham turned around and caught in the thicket by its horns, there was a ram. And Abraham in Genesis chapter number 22 and in verse number 14 called the place, called the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, which simply means God will provide. If you know that, you understand that, that song has a greater meaning. Isaac asked his father before they went on the mountain. He said, I see the wood, I see the fire, we have the knife, but where's the lamb? And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, God will provide himself a lamb. And God did provide a lamb. And prophetically, Abraham let you and I know way back in Genesis chapter number 22 that God himself would be that lamb. John chapter number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. That's a capital W. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word, capital W, was God. Verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, and the Word, capital W, became flesh. He dwelt among us. And we beheld him. We beheld him as the glory of God. He was God. And he came and died on the cross for you and I. I need somebody to hear me. Jehovah Jireh. It was as true in Genesis 22 as it is today. God will provide. Hey, I don't know. I needed something this morning, so it was for me, if nobody else. All right. Matthew chapter number 7. If you're there, say amen. You'd probably rather I preach in Genesis 22, but you're going to get it. Everybody ready? How many of y'all got a red letter Bible? What do y'all see in Matthew chapter number 7? A bunch of red, is everybody all right? Now somebody help me out, what does that mean? That means Jesus is speaking. Will y'all help me out right here? We've already discussed, I hope, in Sunday school and in the 11 o'clock hour already, that he is who? Oh, I'm going to need better than that. I mean, they wasn't but 6 of them maybe. All right, he is who?
God.
So we literally have the words of God. Literally. Right. Exactly what Jesus said. The words of God. Y'all ready? Verse number 13, we're going to begin our reading, all right? The Bible tells us, you probably heard this before, but we're going to expound on it for just a moment. It says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. You can go all through Scripture and you'll find out all through the Bible from the Old Testament all the way to the end that the majority is usually not right. I need somebody to help me. All the way through Scripture, you'll find out that the majority, when it's a majority vote, generally it's not the right one. 12 spies sent in, 2 come back and said, we can do it. 10 come back and said, no, we can't. And the whole nation suffered 40 years because of majority. Is everybody with me? Go through Scripture, you'll find it. Jesus lets us know what we've already discovered in Scripture is that the wide way, the wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And help me now, and many there be which go in thereat. The Bible says in verse number 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, don't get scared. We know this from Scripture. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am. I'm going to say it again and y'all going to help me. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. That's a narrow, it's very narrow-minded. It doesn't leave a whole lot of room for anything else. A lot of people today are trying to find a way, but there's only one way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There's a lot that are on the broad way. There's a lot that's trying to get through the wide gate. They're trying to do it through their works. They're trying to do it through their personality. They're trying to do it through an experience. They're trying to do it through their own perception or their own way. But Jesus comes on the scene, and in John chapter number 14, he says, I am the way. He settles it all. There's not another way. Everybody look up at me. I don't care what church you come from. I don't care what church you identify yourself with. There is only one way. It does not matter. There is only one way. There's only one. I don't care what the name of the church is. There's only one way. So it's a very narrow way. Don't let it scare you. We know it from Scripture. Verse number 15. Beware of false prophets. And can I say this? They're all over the place. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their... Easy now. We're not supposed to judge. Preacher. Now you know, judge not, preacher. But God himself said that you and I would know these individuals by their what? I'll move on. Y'all are in shock right now. It's so quiet across the building because y'all are just waiting on the next word. Because all of your Facebook ideology and theology says that you're not supposed to look at somebody else and judge them. But Jesus said, you're going to know these people by what they produce. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now don't let this confuse you. You can't take an apple tree and pick oranges. Is everybody all right? You know it's an orange tree because mean, you can't call it an orange tree. I know the world's messed up right now on this, but I'm going to help y'all with something. You can't call it an orange tree when you're picking apples. You can call an apple an orange all you want, but it's still an apple. I will move on. His words, not mine. His words, not mine. Verse number 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I need somebody to help me. If an apple tree starts producing oranges, you better get that wicked thing out of your life. I need somebody to help me. So Jesus says here that if it doesn't bring forth good fruit, it is hewn down. And then he adds, it's cast into the fire. Not just cut down and left to die. We'll move on. He says it's cast into the fire. Verse number 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, you need to beware of these false prophets. You'll be able to identify them by their fruits. He said, don't think just because they say, Lord, Lord. Y'all, are y'all hearing me? That they're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse number 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Everybody look up here. We're trying to figure out who. Give an example, preacher. I'm glad you asked. Judas. If you need an example, there's a good one. Judas Iscariot. God gave him power. Jesus gave him power to cast out demons, to prophesy in his name, to do many wonderful works. And he did. But the Bible says that he died and went to his own place. So we know Jesus' word's true. Verse number 23. And then, said many of these people are going to come. They're going to say, I did all these things. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Who's speaking? Let's take a look at this just for a few moments. I want you to notice with me, in context, we're talking about false prophets. But if a false prophet can deceive, then so can a lot of people that are sitting on church pews today. Is everybody all right? And so Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, many of y'all thought the Sermon on the Mount was only chapter number 5, but Jesus preached chapter number 5, chapter number 6, and chapter number 7, the Sermon on the Mount. All right, so this is for all y'all that think that Jesus was a short-winded preacher. 3 chapters he preached. Say, but yeah, but he was God. I bet his sermon was really good. It was, but let me help you out with something. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 66, the Bible says that many of the disciples left him and followed him not. So the best preacher, the best teacher in the world to ever stand up, because he was God, he was the Word, he preached the Word, and at the end of it all, he didn't have but a few church members. I'll go back and say this. It wasn't because the message was flawed. So Jesus gives us a cautioning. There's a cautioning here that we find in Scripture in Matthew chapter number 7. It's a cautioning concerning the way. Just because the way looks easy doesn't mean that it's the right way. Is everybody with me? Let's go back to verse number 13. The Bible says this. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate
And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Jesus is cautioning us that concerning the way to heaven, there's a way that seems right unto man. I need somebody, y'all got to help me this morning. There's a way that seems right unto man. Many times we look at our own life and we say, well, I'm a good person. I wouldn't do anything bad to anybody. I'm not an evil person at all. And so I'm okay when it comes to God. But that is not the criteria of you being saved. You have to be careful of the way that you're going. Why do I have to be careful of the way? Because there's only one way, and it's a narrow way. It's a straight gate. Somebody help me this morning. There's only one way. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything in your own works. You have no power in your own works. Say, preacher, I know that I'm not good enough. But there's so many that go around, they come to church, and they think that they got it all together. They think that they have it all together. We come to church and we don't cuss like somebody else does. We don't drink like somebody else does. We don't smoke like somebody else does. We're not mean to people like somebody else does. We wouldn't steal nothing from somebody else like somebody. Is everybody with me? But at the bottom line, at the end of the day, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible even tells us there's none that seeketh to do good. I don't care how much you want to be good, you can't be. And many people are deceived. And Jesus has given us a caution concerning the way. As many people that's been in a church service and had an experience, an emotional experience that brought them to tears. They could feel something. Goosebumps. Is everybody all right? I heard this one time. Somebody told me, man, I felt goosebumps. Let me tell y'all about my goosebump experience. So at Victory, when I was up at Victory, I was up there at all times of the night and stuff like that. When I was doing the youth, we'd have lock-ins that would go all night long and all this stuff. Never do that. Never, never. It ain't worth it. It is not worth it. Children, they become like demons when they don't have enough sleep. Anyhow, Victory was huge. 4,500 members. I mean, it was a huge complex, big area and everything else. But we had, the way they built it was kind of like what we're doing, just building after building. And they'd have walkways and stairway or hallways in between the buildings. And there was this one hallway. And it was long. Children, they wasn't a window in this thing. They wasn't a door in this thing. And me, if you know me, I walk around in the dark. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it doesn't. You can come in here. I can be in here. And many people, y'all come up here and all the lights will be off. And I'll be walking around. It doesn't bother me. But one night, it's about 1:00 in the morning. And I was walking down that hallway. Is everybody all right? And all of a sudden, I felt something breathing on the back of my neck. I need somebody to help me. It's pitch black dark. I mean, you ain't seeing anything. I'm on these, you walk a straight line deal type thing so I don't run into anything. Straight down the hallway, get to the door, and I'm getting out of here. So I'm walking down this hallway, and I can feel on my back. I need somebody to help me. Goosebumps everywhere. I start walking a little faster. Is everybody all right? We're talking about a long hallway. I still feel something behind me. I've never done this before and never do it again. But anyhow, I turned around in the dark and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what I was rebuking, but anyhow, I got out of it. I need somebody to help me. There's a lot of people that are saying, oh, I had goosebumps. I had goosebumps that night too. And I promise you, Jesus wasn't nowhere near what was coming after me down that hallway. Is everybody all right? We cannot rely on our feelings. There's only one way, and God has prescribed it. And he says, I am the way. So Jesus cautions us concerning the way. He cautions us concerning the witnesses. He says, be careful. Just because a lot of people are going in this direction doesn't mean that it's the right direction to go.
Got to be careful. Just because it looks like a church, just because they look like they're saved, I'm going to need y'all to help me. I don't know what a saved person looks like. I know what the Baptists will tell you a saved person looks like, and I'm not one of them. I ain't got a tie on, so I'm going to hell. I mean, all kind of stuff. We sing music that, you know, that ain't 900 years old, so I'm going to hell. I don't know. But anyhow, what I do know is this. I do know that following a crowd will get you in trouble. And so Jesus cautions us on the way, and he cautions us concerning the witnesses, but he also cautions us concerning the works. He says this, many is going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Just because it sounds biblical. I need somebody. Y'all got to help me. Just because it sounds biblical doesn't mean that it is. And so Jesus gives us a word of caution concerning the way, concerning the witnesses, concerning the works. But he also, we see that there's a counterfeit. Not only do we see a cautioning, but we see a counterfeit. The Bible tells us this. It says in verse number 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There's a counterfeit. I believe there's a counterfeit in every church. Don't get quiet on me, or everybody's going to think you're the counterfeit. I believe there are counterfeits in every church. Hey, I'm not getting on to you, and I'm not trying to be ugly about it. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I want you to examine yourselves this morning. Examine your experience this morning, because Jesus gave us a word of caution and said, you better be careful, because there's only one way. He says, you better be careful. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that it's the right way. And he says, you better be careful. Just because it looks like Christianity doesn't mean that it is. He says there's counterfeits. He says there's people that dress up like sheep, but in actuality, they're really wolves. And we like to identify preachers like this, but the fact of the matter is that I've been treated a lot worse by people, members of the church, than I have preachers. And I have had bad experiences with preachers, but I've had a lot more bad experiences with people in the church. Oh, don't get quiet on me right now. Don't get quiet on me right now. I stand on this, I promise you, I stand on this rock and defend it all day long. I have been treated worse by the people that claim to be God's people than I have by a preacher. And I've been treated bad by a preacher. There's counterfeits, and they're in every church. Their intentions are to deceive others and ultimately to destroy what God wants to do, not only in the church, but in your life. Jesus cautions us. There's only one way. There's only one way. It's a narrow gate. And he tells us that there's counterfeits. Everybody all right? I know we're supposed to run around the building and have fun. Man, after singing Jireh, it was supposed to get on up in here, preacher. But here's the thing. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't caution. If Jesus took time in a sermon to caution that there's counterfeits, then I think the preachers ought to be doing it as well. We're told of a counterfeit. Their intention is to deceive us. Their intention, our intention is to destroy us. And then there's a fruit. It's bad fruit, or I wrote this down, or no fruit. See, a counterfeit is identified. Their identification is with bad fruit. We can all agree with that. Or no fruit. Y'all making me preach too long. Y'all got to help me. When I got saved, my life changed. It leads me to point number three. See, we're moving along fast. Y'all keeping up? Point number one, Jesus gives us a caution. Point number two, he tells us there's some counterfeits. But point number three gives us a criteria. And the criteria is this. Number one, repentance. Repentance is turning from the way that we're going. It's a change not only in our life, it's a change in direction. I'm not the same person that I used to be. Say, preacher, what are you trying to preach to him? I'm trying to say this. I want you to know that you're saved. And the only way that you're going to know that you're saved is by lining your salvation up with a criteria that Christ lays down. He does that right here in verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Everybody look up here. My will and God's will aren't the same. I wish it was. But let's just get honest for a few moments and say this with all assurity. I don't think like him. Y'all better help me. He's long-suffering. I want you to pay right now. You cut me off in traffic, I want you to have a flat tire. In Jesus' name, just to teach you a lesson, I don't want you to die or nothing like that. I mean, right? I need somebody to help me. Somebody talks bad about me, Jesus. Hey, how many times we talk bad about Jesus and he forgives us? But if somebody talks bad about us, we don't think like he does. We don't love like he does. I wish we loved like he does, but we don't love like he does. We don't act like he. What would Jesus do? Not what I just did. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to get honest with the preacher this morning. I would love to wear one of them bracelets that says, what would Jesus do? But I know me. Amen. Some of y'all still ain't put a sticker on your car that says Calvary Baptist Church because you know you. Amen, Lauren. My own daughter-in-law, her husband's paid by the church, staff member of the church. She won't put Calvary sticker on the back of her car because she's liable to cuss you out, shoot you a bird, or run you off the road. And she don't want that. Is that all right? Can I say that, Lauren? Is that okay? It's done now. She don't want you to have a bad impression about Calvary Baptist Church. See, the criteria is repentance. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It just means that we're not who we used to be. Some of us are living our lives the same way that we were before we got saved and trying to convince the whole world that we're saved because of a profession that we made. We're trying to deceive others into thinking that we're saved when the fruits of our life bear witness that we're the same person. We're the same person that we were before we got saved. That's right. Or before our profession. Listen to me. I ain't trying to upset you. I'm trying to bring you to reality. Jesus cautions us concerning the way. He cautions us concerning the witnesses. He cautions us concerning the works. He tells us that there's counterfeits. These counterfeits, their intentions are bad. They want to deceive us. They identify as sheep, but they're really wolves. His criteria, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Is everybody ready? Amen. Repentance is one of those criteria. You know what is another one? Second criteria, a relationship. He says, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord. So listen, go to verse number 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Two criteria, repentance, relationship. I ain't the same that I used to be. Amen. Now the question is, does he know me?
I know him. James. Book of James, chapter number 2, I believe. Give me a minute. Y'all got time for this? I promise you, I'm gonna get to an end some point. At some time during the day. So in James chapter number 2, this is for people that say, "Preacher, I believe in Jesus. Preacher, I know him." Is everybody ready? James chapter number 2, verse number 19. Can you put that up there for us? James chapter 2 and verse number 19. I'll read it. There we go. Here we go. "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well." Be good if the verse stopped there, but it doesn't. It says, "The devils also believe and tremble." So, it's not about whether or not I know him. It's about whether or not he knows me. Because in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 23, it says, "Depart." He says, "I never knew you." He didn't say anything about them knowing him. Is everybody all right? Let's go back to the scripture. Matthew chapter number 7. We come to the last point and I'll be done. There's a cautioning. By who? Who's speaking? There was a cautioning. He tells us, he cautions us concerning the way, concerning the witnesses, concerning the works. He tells us that there's counterfeits that are out to deceive us, to destroy us. Their intentions are such that the only way that you and I can identify them is through their fruits. Bad fruit or no fruit. I didn't have time to preach that. But not only does he look at bad fruit, he looks at, they're one and the same. You can't say, "Well, I ain't got no fruit, so I'm okay." There's no middle. I need somebody to help me. There's no middle ground. There's no good fruit, bad fruit, and I'll just stay right in the middle with no fruit. No fruit is just as worthless as bad fruit. I need somebody to help me. Plant a tree and you get bad fruit or no fruit, you ain't going to keep tending to the tree. Then there's a criteria. Repentance is required. A relationship is required. Lastly, I'm done. There's a conclusion. There's a caution. There's a counterfeit. There's a criteria. Lastly, there's a conclusion. The reality is this. Not everyone. Go to verse, let me see right here. Verse number 21. Go back up to verse number 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." So we see the reality that not everybody is saved. As we move on, go to verse number 22. We see the reality that one day we're going to give an account. Look at what it says. "Many will say to me in that day." The reality is this, not everybody that professes salvation is saved. Amen. And the reality is, though, that every single one of us one day will give an account. In that day, is everybody with me? One day, you're going to give an account concerning your salvation. In that day, you will answer. And it will be determined whether you met the criteria or whether you are a counterfeit. Stay with me. Y'all act like, "Hey, listen, if you're saved, say amen." Amen. Don't get scared now. There's a conclusion. The reality, not everyone that day. Those two things. Not everyone's going to heaven. But everyone's going to stand before God and give an account. There's a conclusion. I want you to notice who the judge is. Many will say to, say it with me. Many will say to, who's speaking? We're going to give an account to him. Verse number 23, if you will. And then I, say it with me. That's Jesus. Then will I, Jesus, profess unto them. I, Jesus, never knew you. I know we got the world has painted a picture of Jesus as, oh, he's just loving and Jesus is just going to love everybody else. But his own words, he says, there's coming a day where men and women will stand before me. They will profess to do good things. He said, but I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. The scariest words that you and I could ever hear. Depart from me. There's a conclusion. The reality, the judge, and then the reward. I don't know if you call it reward, but you and I know the truth. If we don't adhere to the truth, then I guess the reward is, according to Scripture and in this Scripture, those that produce bad fruit or no fruit are hewn down and cast into the... Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This morning, I'm done. Dalton's going to that piano. I asked the Lord to move in this service this morning. I asked him to do a work that I couldn't do. There's people that sit here in this church service, you know who you are. You've professed salvation. But if you got real honest with me, got away from the crowd, and it was just me, you, or just you and Jesus. You take an honest examination of your life and say, preacher, the criteria ain't adding up. There was a time that I went down to an altar and I repeated a prayer after somebody, but my life has never changed. I'm the same person today as I was the day that I went down to that altar. Nothing in my life has changed. I've been confused by it, preacher, because others, I've seen God do stuff in their life, and I'm wondering why not in mine. But my life didn't change. I have no prayer life. I have no Bible reading. I have no desire to come to church because I don't have a relationship. Oh, we thought it was just because we... No. Listen. I'm going to try to keep this on Jesus, but I'm trying to use an illustration here. There's nothing that I want to do more in the afternoon than go home and see my wife. There's not one of y'all, not one person in this building that I would rather go home to than the woman that I've known for over 30 years. Me and her have a relationship. What you've seen up there while we sang that song, that was my wife coming to tell me she loves me. A relationship. That was me telling my wife that I love her. Some of y'all was looking like, who's he kissing in the choir? That was my lady. That's the one that I like to eat lunch with every single day. Me and her eat lunch together. I try to get her, and she'll get on a diet. And I'm like, hey, look, you can eat vegetables at Carter's while I eat fried chicken. Why? Because I have a relationship. I talk to her every day.
Matter of fact, I don't even like to leave her. Anytime I can, come on, let's go with me. I went to buy something from Tractor Supply the other day. You want to ride with me? Why? Because I have a relationship. Listen to me, I like to be around her. And over 30 years, listen to me, I've seen her good side and I have seen her bad side. And I still would rather be with her than anybody else in the world. Why? Because we have a relationship. There's a lot of Christians talking about a relationship, and they won't spend any time with Him. So this morning, my job as a preacher is to bring you to a decision. Do you know Him? More importantly, does He know you? Heads bowed with me, nobody's looking around. These altars are open. Folks are already coming. Heads bowed with me. Nobody's looking around. Scariest words in the Bible. Depart from me. I never knew you. You knew me, but I never knew you. This morning, I want you to be honest with this preacher. Nobody's looking around. I don't care if you've been a church member here for 50 years. I want you to be honest with yourself. This ain't just for visitors. This is for us. If your heart was to stop beating right now in that chair, on the altar, do you know where you would spend eternity?